This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
The pandemic isn't over just because you're over it. The pandemic isn't over just because you're over it.
Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along. The pandemic isn't over just because you're over it. We begin today's program with that popular meme that's been making the rounds these days on social media. We're talking with Dr. Allison Brodzinski about the pandemic, about COVID, about coronavirus-related issues, the Delta variant. We're talking today about what we still need to do to help protect ourselves and others. Dr. Allison Brodzinski is Northeast Director of Infectious Diseases for Geisinger out of the Wilkes-Barre Scranton facility. She is a board-certified and fellowship-trained specialist in infectious diseases and is certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine. Welcome to the program, Doctor. Let's begin with a bit of discussion about the term we've been hearing a lot in recent days. That is breakthrough cases. Tell us about that, what it is, what it means, and what we need to be aware of. Are there more of these cases now that the Delta variant is being dealt with?
A breakthrough infection is someone who's been fully vaccinated, and that's an important term, I think, for a lot of people to wrap their head around. So fully vaccinated is someone who has received either both doses of Moderna or Pfizer, or the one dose of the J&J, and they're 2 weeks out from completing that series. So it's really important to understand that, you know, fully vaccinated are those individuals who are 2 weeks out from completing their series of the COVID-19 vaccine. And someone who is fully vaccinated and then goes on to contract the disease, COVID-19, that's what we're calling a breakthrough case. Now, I think the term is a bit of a misnomer, to be honest with you, because, I mean, we know, like most vaccines, they're not 100% ironclad. You know, we understand that vaccines are here, one, to obviously protect us. But, you know, in the event that we're exposed to that infection, to whatever virus we're being vaccinated against, that our risk of developing severe disease, our risk of, you know, contracting those complications, requiring hospitalization and obviously death, are going to be much lower in those that are vaccinated and protected. So yes, we are seeing breakthrough infections with COVID-19, those that are fully vaccinated. But again, you know, those of us in the infectious diseases world, not something that I would say would be uncommon.
Okay. Now, the CDC modified the meanings of vaccine and vaccination recently. Is this going to help people better understand this sort of thing and that a vaccine isn't necessarily 100% effective?
I do. I think it is. You know, and when you think back, you know, when go through this whole pandemic, when we started talking about the idea of a vaccine, it was almost euphoric for a lot of individuals to think this is it. You know, this is the light at the end of this tunnel. And we all kind of had that same, you know, banter. We all in the medical community, you know, in leading health organizations, politicians, we all kind of, you know, stood up and said, guys, this is it. This is the answer. And I'll be honest, yes, the vaccine is the answer. It is. But I think one message that we forgot was that it's not 100% ironclad, you know, as we said before, particularly when you're dealing with a new variant like Delta, which we know, you know, has changed significantly from the original virus that first originated from Wuhan. It changed in that it is much more transmissible. We know people who have infection with the Delta variant produce about 1,000 times more viral load than those that were infected with that original strain that came out of Wuhan. So, you know, you have, you know, a much more infectious variant. You have the public thinking, hey, I'm fully protected. You know, I have this vaccine that is the answer to everything. And that's a wrong mixture. Because, yes, the vaccines are, I think, the best tool that we have in getting through this pandemic. But it's in addition to layering with the other protective strategies that we know that work, which is, you know, masking, particularly in places that you're going to be in large crowds, when you're in indoor settings and you have a surrounding community that has substantial or high rates of COVID-19, the personal responsibility of, you know, not coming out into the community or into work when you're not feeling well, the washing your hands. For some reason, I think the message got blurred a bit when vaccines came out. That was basically like, hey, forget about everything else. You know, well, we can't. We can't for several reasons. One, you know, we cautioned the public when the vaccines came out about this idea of something called herd immunity, which is that we need a certain percent of our population to be immune to this virus in order to really start thinking about a protective herd immunity in a particular population. And that number is about 80% for the virus SARS-CoV-2. We are not anywhere close to that 80% mark. So again, I think, you know, looking back, our message, you know, I think should have been a little bit more cautious, if you will, that yes, this vaccine is great. It's safe. It's effective. But in addition to the vaccine, let's not drop the ball on the other risk mitigation strategies.
I can think of one specific school around here. I know there's more, but that is pretty much ignoring the governor's mask mandate and saying, well, we have air purifiers now and things like that. Are there alternatives like that that are really doing any good? Or, you know, are people like this just, you know, kind of grasping at herd immunity in the long term?
Yeah. And again, going back to that idea that it's the layering of the protective strategies that we know is going to get us through this pandemic and keep our cases low. So when you look at guidance that we gave to school districts last year, so at the start of the 2020-2021 school year, we talked a lot about different types of learning environments. We talked about hybrid models. We talked about virtual learning. We talked about in-person learning. And this year, the thought process completely shifted. And the thought process from the CDC, the thought process from, you know, local health organizations, and we said, look, we want these kids back in school. We know this is the best place for them. So the idea of different alternative learning environments was not even a focus in CDC guidance this year. It was, let's get these kids back to school. However, to get them back to school and to stay there safely, we have to layer all of the tools that we know that work. If you're eligible for vaccination, let's get you vaccinated. You know, when you're in school, we have to put those masks in place. Ventilation in addition to that, hand hygiene in addition to that, as much as we can social distance. So again, I think thinking of this as, well, we have one tool, let's pull it out and let's use it and forget about the rest. That's an error. I think that a lot of people are making. It's again thinking about all of the tools that we have and how do we layer them. So in addition to vaccination, masking, we know that it's successful in keeping down our respiratory tract infections and COVID being one of them, particularly when these kids are in school. You know, we know a lot of these kids are still not eligible for vaccination, that 5 to 11 age group. You know, we're still waiting for the data to come out and to see where that takes us for vaccinations. We're very hopeful and optimistic that we're going to be there quite soon, but we're not there yet. The vaccine is still undergoing its review, so we don't even have vaccination as a tool. So what are the other tools that we have in place? So we have the masking, right? We have ventilation, we have the social distancing, the hand hygiene. It's layering all of them. It's not a one and done approach.
If a kid in school is vaccinated, at least doing the things you can do, is that, you know, a really big jump toward protection?
You know, ideally you'd want everyone masked. We know that, you know, we used to use the mantra early on in the pandemic is that I wear my mask to protect you and you wear your mask to protect me. And certainly that still exists. We know, you know, that having a room full of children, particularly a vulnerable population, not vaccinated, it's very difficult to distance in a lot of these classrooms. The infrastructure of a lot of these classrooms just don't allow for the distancing that we would like to see. So, having a room full of children that are masked is going to absolutely put these kids at a much lower risk of contracting COVID-19 versus just having, sparse masking here and there. And we know this. There's we have data from last year's school session that shows even in districts that weren't able to comply with that 6 feet distancing rule, when kids were consistently masked in these classrooms, the rate of in-school transmission was extremely low. So we have a lot of really good data on that, and that data is reflected in this year's CDC guidance to the school districts that say, number one, we want to get these kids back in school because we know it's the best environment for them. And for a lot of districts that can't comply with this 6 foot distance rule, this is where the masking is going to become even more important because of the data that we found from last year that when these kids were consistently wearing masks, even when they were kind of in that 3 feet range, we weren't seeing that in-school transmission.
As a medical professional who knows what they're talking about, how frustrating is this to you every day to see this kind of attitude? And, you look at radio station or TV posts on like social media and you got the laugh emojis popping up. How do you deal every day and go home without punching the wall?
Yeah, you try to look at it as objectively as possible. I clearly see this pandemic through a lens that, not too many other individuals do. So I'm a mom. I have young children who are in school. I'm an infectious diseases physician. So clearly, I'm seeing individuals who are requiring hospitalization, who are requiring critical care resources. I've witnessed, obviously, people dying of this disease. I've witnessed the impact that it's had on their family members and their friends. I've witnessed the conversations, the regret that some family members had because perhaps they chose not to push vaccination on their loved one more, or perhaps partaking in activities that were known to be of high risk. My family's from this community, my friends are from this community. So I try to take a more objective approach and perhaps think I'm looking through this and I have the tools that I know to keep myself safe and my family safe. And the best thing that I can do is discussions like this with you and to get people to perhaps see it through my lens. It's a lens that I don't want anyone else to have to see it through, but it's the reality and it's the truth. I love having these discussions because I can share the tools that I know kept me safe through this, that kept my family safe, that kept my children safe through this, which is exactly what we're talking about. Go to a reputable site to learn about the safety and the efficacy of these vaccinations. Talk to, a physician that you have confidence in. Talk to someone that you feel comfortable in having a conversation to perhaps talk about some fears that you have about vaccination. Research why these masks are going to be one of the best tools that your children can use right now in the event that they're not eligible for vaccination or perhaps in schools in addition to their vaccination. So if anything, I feel fortunate that I can have these types of conversations and that I'm in a place that I can talk to community members, that I can talk to my patients and their families about the importance of all this. Okay. I'll be honest with you, we're our goal is to always keep, our community safe, keep our patients safe, and clearly as a mom, keep my family safe, and I'm going to continue to do that. But I think that is important for the public to really understand the difference between something that truly is looked at as research, something that is peer-reviewed, versus something that perhaps is an editorial or a survey. There was a school district in our area that was talking about some of the cons of wearing a mask and that, you know, children are more likely to have concentration issues or headaches, and there was discussions about lung development. I mean, really just curious in my mind to see, like, why would they feel this? You know, where are they getting this from? And then as you kind of, I start kind of digging into, well, where is this coming from? You know, a lot of them are phone surveys from a lot of really anti-masking groups, you know, that are again, kind of trying to get that on top of the discussion points. Now, it's good to ask questions. I don't think we should ever deter anyone from saying, hey, I read this and this worries me and I'm concerned about this. It's good to ask questions. It's good to advocate for your health or if something doesn't feel right. But, you know, that's why I think it's important to find a site that's reputable, find your primary care physician that's reputable, find your local friendly infectious disease doctor, and have these discussions. Because I think at the end of the discussions, a lot of people realize that, you know, places that they're going to for their information perhaps aren't the best.
Thank you, Dr. Brzezinski, for joining us on the program today. Dr. Allison Brzezinski of Geisinger has been our guest, bringing us this pandemic update. Thanks for being with us on the program. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.